All right, ladies and gentlemen. So we have this din of kol mitzvahs kulan mevarach alein over lasiyasan gemara that appears in many places in Shas and specifically right here menachas lamed hem beis kol mitzvahs kulan mevarach alein over lasiyasan, that 7-line phrase from Shmuel, which establishes number one the chiyuv of saying birkas hamitzvahs, and specifically that key detail in terms of timing. When do you say the mitzvah? When do you say the bracha? Rather, when do you say the bracha? Over l'asiyasan. Over l'asiyasan, before the asiyah. We saw yesterday that we showed in the Ritva, the Meiri, and Mukhe Yosef discuss why that seemingly awkward term, over l'asiyasan, why such an obscure word? Why not just say kodem asiyasan? We saw the Rishonim said that what? Rishonim said the difference is kodem just means any time before. Over l'asiyasan means immediately before. And as a matter of fact, we saw that's specifically this sugya menachas is about that. Mishas hanacha ve'ad shas kshira, that you say the bracha before the kshira, but not any time before the kshira, in between hanacha and kshira, in between the placement and the actual tying of the tefillin. And we discussed yesterday that at least from Rashi, perhaps not from the Mukhe Yosef, but at least from Rashi, it seems like part of the motion from the Hava Mina to the Maskana is how you translate the word Hanacha. When the Amoraim at the beginning said, Ne'emasai Mevarach Aleim Mishas Hanacha San, from when you do Hanacha, the Gemara might originally have thought it just meant the generally, Hanacha means put it on the tefillin. So originally, later Amoraim thought that this the early Memra meant after you're done, put on your tefillin and say the bracha. And the Amoraim came to the conclusion, Abaye Rav explained, no. Abaye Rav explained that when those earlier Amoraim, Rav or Shmuel or Rav Huna, had said Mishas Hanachas, and they didn't mean overall, after you're done with Hanachas tefillin, put on tefillin, they meant specifically after you're done placing the tefillin. After you've put them into position, but before you actually did the kshira. Because the actual ma'isa mitzvah is the kshira. The hanacha, literally, the placement is the last preliminary step. So that's when you want to, that's dafka over. As opposed to kodem, right before the ma'isa mitzvah, right before the kshira, after the hanacha. Yonatan, yeah. Yeah, so we are going to get to that. The next sugya on the top of Lam Vav Amud Aleph is going to actually address bracha on Shal Yad and Shal Rosh. What we take for granted that you make a bracha on Shal Rosh, we're going to see is actually not so obvious. And as a matter of fact, it's a difficult Gemara and a Machlokas Harishonim. And presumably, well, for now, let's assume it means you put into place, but you could put the Shal Rosh into place loosely. And then you could actually tighten it. You could have it on your head as opposed to just in your hand or in the box, but also as opposed to actually being properly centered and pushed down tight. So you have the shel, you put the shel rosh on loosely on your head. It's no longer in the bag, no longer in the box, no longer just in your hand. It's on your head. Then you make the bracha, and then you do the kshira. But then the question is, there are two questions here. Two next step questions in terms of Shmuel. Two next step questions in terms of Shmuel. The first question is, well, why? Why is it so important? Why is over l'asiyasan so important? And for that, so let's take a look at a Ritva, and let's take a look at a subtle Rambam. The Ritva you saw, what were your thoughts? The first paragraph, the Ritva Megill just talks about the language of over and when you do that. The Ritva Msachim, as you saw, he first talks about what the word over means. You can't, it has to be right before, but then they go on to quote V'chasav HaRitzal. The Ritva wrote, and you may have been wondering, by the way, why is a Ritva calling himself? Sort of odd, referring himself in the third person. This is the Ritva Msachim. Why say v'chasav harit? The answer is that the Ritva Psachim would be, if you want to be technical, it's a Talmidei HaRitva. I mean, this was written by Talmidim of the Ritva almost exclusively Torah of their Rebbe. So we usually just call it the Chiddush HaRitva, but it wasn't written, at least not all written by him. So the Talmidim are quoting their Rebbe, the Rit, Rabbeinu Yom Tov. The Ritva wrote, the Tam Zesh Amru Chazal Avarach Ala Mitzvah over Las Yasin. Why did the Chachamim demand this? Say a bracha whenever you want to, before, after. Why do they have to be so specific? So the Ritva says, Kadesha Yiz Kadesh Tchila Bibracha. V'yigala v'yodiya sho'oso samim tzeh Hashem Yisbarach. So you be Mekadesh yourself first with a bracha, and you reveal, pronounce, declare openly that you're doing it because of Hashem's mitzvah. What does that mean? That's a mouthful. I'm Mekadesh myself with a bracha first. And let everyone know that I'm doing it because of mitzvah Hashem. In other words, the bracha makes it clear why I'm doing what I'm doing. I could be eating matzah for lots of reasons. I could be eating matzah because I'm hungry. I could be eating matzah because everyone else is eating matzah. Am I in shul listening to shofar just because that's what I don't know? That's what I'm supposed to do. That's what I'm supposed to be. Right? Am I doing it because this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of me? So the Ritva says, I'm letting everyone know, and perhaps most important, letting myself, reminding myself, that I'm doing this not just because, but I'm doing this maisa mitzvah because it's a mitzvah, because it's a tzivoy, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of me. And that might be what he means by Kadesh's Kadesh Tchil Bebracha. I'm infusing myself with Kedusha. I'm reinvigorating, refreshing the fact that I act because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of me. Yoni, question. Fantastic. Right, very, very good. That's right. The Navi Yehuda appears to be drawing, he doesn't quote this Ritva directly, but he appears to be driving home the same point. I share the Navi Yehuda with you because the first person to point out to me what Yoni just said, a good friend of mine, a Talmud Chacham, an accountant, Brian Gopin, who pointed out that Navi Yehuda is restating that Ritva. That Navi Yehuda, that Shuv Navi Yehuda, is a fascinating historical background. I mentioned yesterday, it was written in June of 1776, when there was revolution brewing on these shores in North America, and then Yehuda is dealing with his own sort of revolution. He was dealing with the revolution of Hasidus. The late 1700s was the beginning of the rise of the Hasidus of the Baal Shem Tov, the Hasidus of the Shalah, and it was a revolution of sorts in terms of rethinking how halacha should be practiced and what should be stressed. And there was a lot of concern among the Navi Yehuda and some of his contemporaries, the Vilna Gaon and others, this new movement, where was it going? And was it going to be just another Shabtai Tzvi type movement? Shabtai Tzvi was a false messiah who rocked the world, and the Jewish world in particular, in the late 1600s. And many people bought in and thought that he was going to be Mashiach. And when it became clear that he was a farce and a phony, when the Sultan of the Ottoman Empire said, the turban or the sword, you can either convert to Islam or that'll be the end of you. And he took Islam to save his life. At that point, almost everyone realized that he was a phony. It was terrible. The repercussions lasted for decades. So many people had sort of built their emunah around on the assumption that Shabtai Tzvi is Mashiach. When it became clear that wasn't the case, it was incredibly injurious, beyond hard to fully imagine how difficult it was. Around a century later, once again, one of the things that Shabtai Tzvi had done, he had used and abused sort of a Kabbalah light. He used a lot of Kabbalah imagery. So 100 years later, early Hasidus was pushing for the popularization of Kabbalah. Mishnais in the second paragraph of Chagiga tells that Kabbalah is meant only for a select few. And one of the major chidushim of Hasidus was, now is the time that we should be, you know, the masses should be engaged in mysticism and Kabbalah. So the Vilna Gaon and the Nebi Yehuda, many were very, very concerned about this, where it was going to go. So Nebi Yehuda has this tshuva about saying L'shem Yichud. Some Sidurim and some Haggadahs have this paragraph before you do a mitzvah. It begins L'shem Yichud. Sometimes you see it before Sfira Sa'omer. And the first line is Kabbalistic. L'shem Yichud Kutcher Brichu Shchinte, explaining the Kabbalistic implications of the mitzvah. And so this Rav from Germany, from the city of Gotain, sends a series of four shayles to Nebi Yehuda. The fourth one was, he asks him, you know, some details about the right way to phrase L'shem Yichud. And the Nebi Yehuda says, I don't forget about, should you say it this way, say it that way. I don't think you should be saying it at all. Very, very sharp language in the opening paragraph. He says, you got to go back to basics. Bavli, Yerushalmi, Shulchan Aruch. He says, Kabbalah is for a select few. We do know historically, Nebi Yehuda was a member of a Kloyes for over a decade in Brat, as a young man in his teens and 20s, where there was a lot of both Gemara and Kabbalah studied. He was not anti-Kabbalah, but he was anti-popularizing Kabbalah. And then he goes on saying, here's the critical paragraph, where he says, you told me that Tov Lios HaKesher Amit B'Dibur Machshav V'Maisa, isn't it a good idea to have a strong, powerful interconnection between a strong knot, a kesher amitz, between dibur, machshava, and maisa, between speech, thought, and action, and we often are seen as the three dimensions or the three realms of avos Hashem. Some mitzvahs we do b'masa, actually actions. Sometimes there are things that we speak, and sometimes there are mitzvahs of how we think and feel. He says, isn't it a good idea to intertwine all them? I'm going to do a mitzvah, also going to say L'shem Yichud. He says, that's a great idea. It's such a good idea that Chazal already put that into place over 2,000 years ago. He says, that's the point on Shekhinah Segdola, crafted brachas for us. He says, when you say a bracha, that's his Oros HaDibur Machshava. It's reawakening thought and speech. He says, what could be better than the bracha? And then the Yehuda goes on to say, he was a very spiritual man. He said, my personal practice is when you have a mitzvah without a bracha, there are many mitzvahs without brachas. Some guys are asking you in Seder, well, taka, how come? We'll come back to that. We'll come back to that. And you have a mitzvah without a bracha. So my practice is, I say, anino heglo mar b'fi, I say, hinini osa davar zet l'kayim mitzvahs bo'i. I am about to do this as a fulfillment of Tzivur Hashem. This is, indeed, I'm about to do, to perform Kibud Avim. I'm about to give tzedakah. So I'll say, I'm doing this before I write the check. Say, this, I'm doing this because this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of me. So we don't need to get into the Kabbalistic, mystical underpinnings. Just Judaism 101, basics. I'm doing this because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of me. He says, the Kabbalah will work itself out. Kol ha'tikunin l'mayla nasim me'aleim. If you do the right mitzvah, what's going on, the mystical piece in Shamayim, that's the Kadosh Baruch Hu's business. You have to do what you're expected to do. So Nebi Yehuda, as Yoni pointed out, as Brian pointed out to me, Nebi Yehuda essentially is capturing and expanding on the theme of this ritva. That the bracha is a way of reinforcing, of pronouncing, I'm doing this not just for some ulterior motive, for personal gain, for social gain, just out of rote. No, I'm doing this because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it of me. Ki Shama Sosa Vitzivanu. I say it. Hashem Elokeinu. See, think about the words that you say when you say bracha. Hashem Elokeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our God, is also Melech HaOlam. He's the king of the universe, CEO of the universe, the transcendent God who runs the whole universe, and he's also immanent. He's Elokeinu. He's also the God who runs the entire universe, has a connection with me, and Kiddushan Mimisosav. And he gave us the opportunity to be Mekadosh ourselves, to uplift ourselves by fulfilling his commandments. Kiddushis Kadosh Tchil Lebracha. And specifically, Vitzivanu, he told me specifically, Natil Sidaim. He told me specifically Lulav. He told me specifically Tzitzis, Tfilin, Tfilas Kalim, and so on and so forth. Okay. And then he goes on to say another interesting idea. Va'od ki abrachos me'avot, back in the Ritva, in addition to the fact that the bracha makes sure that your mind is in sync with your hands before you do the mitzvah, ki abrachos me'avot ha'nefesh, v'roi la'akdim avot ha'nefesh, l'maisa she'avot ha'gof. He says also, it's a reminder that there's a pnimius and a chitzonius to avot Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us chovos ha'evarim, physical actions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also expects of our hearts and minds, chovos ha'avavos. And he says, part of this is significant, the symbolism of saying the bracha before you do the ma'aseh mitzvah, is it reminds us that the pnimius is primary. And that's why the avodas ha'nefesh is put before avodas ha'guf. The inner work comes before the ma'aseh mitzvah. I'd be glad to take questions in a couple moments, but I want to first take a look with you at a Rambam. I want to share with you, the Rambam opens Hilchos Brachos, and let's see where this Rambam takes us. He doesn't directly ask the Ritva's question, but it sounds like he's addressing it. You should know, by the way, the Rambam is actually of the opinion, Rambam stresses over Asiyasin very much. Rambam actually writes that you cannot, some Rishonim say, it would be good to say the bracha beforehand, but if you forgot, say the bracha afterwards. The Rambam is of the opinion that it's do or die. If you don't make the bracha before, you cannot make the bracha afterwards. Over Asiyasin is ma'akev. So with that in mind, let's take a look at the very first time he introduces over Asiyasin. As a matter of fact, the very first time he introduces Birkas HaMitzvah in general. And the Rambam opens Hilchos Brachos with the mitzvah seh daraisa of Birkas HaMazon, bracha after eating. And then he goes on to say, even if you're not full, you say a bracha, and midrabanan. Midrabanan, he make brachas before food as well, and smells. And then he says, halacha gimel, kishem shemivarchin al ha'anoya, kach mevarchin al mitzvah, mitzvah achach yaseh osah. Just as you make a bracha on pleasure, so too you make a bracha on every mitzvah, and then you do it. And brachos rabos tiknu chacham derech shavach v'oda. And chacham also wrote many other brachas as shavach v'oda or as bakasha, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu in response to the things that you see or hear, tfilos, so that lizkar is habori tamid, so that you keep HaKadosh Baruch Hu in mind throughout the day. Nimtzu alach adalka brachos kulon shol shaminim, three categories of brachos, birkas hanenin, birkas hamitzas, birkas hoda'a, shevach hoda'a bakasha. Three categories of brachos. Right, he's wrapping up in alach adalit what he said in alach gimel. But you notice, what do you notice about the way the words he uses in alach gimel to connect the categories? What's different about how he connects 1 and 2 versus 2 and 3? Aryeh, yeah? Yes. When he goes on to the third category, he says, "Ooh, brachas rabos tikna chamadar and." But he didn't just say there are brikas hana and also brikas hamitzvah. He said kishem kach. Just as is a brikas hana, so too there's a brikas hamitzvah. As though they're somehow the same. They're not the same thing. A bracha on an apple and a bracha on tefilas kalim. Unless he just means, yeah, what do you think it means? A deer? Ah, okay, that's interesting. You get benefit from both. Ooh, okay, very good. You get benefit from both. Good. So I'm preceding them. Yeah, good. What else, Yoni? Yeah, so that's an important point. He is not only saying, so too you have a Birkas HaMitzvah, but he's also saying, so too you have a Birkas HaMitzvah, and you say the bracha before the mitzvah, over Lasiyasim. Now, but the problem is, it can't be that he's just saying that both Birkas Hanenin and Birkas HaMitzvah come before the action, because as we saw, that's why it's important to see in context, he began his discussion of Birkas Hanenin with Birkas HaMazon, which comes after food. So you can't say that Birkas Hanenin are always beforehand. As a matter of fact, the root of all Birkas Hanenin is a bracha acharona, is Birkas HaMazon. That's the only one which is daraisa. So he is connecting Birkas HaMitzvahs and specifically the overlast yasa aspect to Hana, but it needs to be something deeper than, well, Birkas Hanenin come before and Birkas HaMitzvah come before, Birkas Hanenin don't always come before. So what the Rav suggests is the following, and then I want to hear more hands. The Gemara says at the very beginning of the sixth paragraph of brachas that if you eat without a bracha, ki'ilu mo'al. You enjoy this world without a bracha, ki'ilu mo'al. It's as though you stole from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gemara points out, stirim psukim. Whose is the world? LaHashem ha'aretz u'mulowa, the world is God's. On the other hand, HaShamayim shamayim LaHashem, the heavens are God's. VaHaaretz nasan al bnei adam, he gave planet Earth, he gave al mazeh to human beings. So which one is it? Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give al mazeh to human beings, or is it his? So the Gemara says, an interesting type of stira. So the Gemara says, well, kan kodem bracha, kan lacha bracha. The world is God's. It's a chiddush that I get to enjoy the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me license to enjoy the world, la'achar bracha. So a bracha is not only a mitzvah I need to do before I eat, and if I eat without bracha, I would mevatel the mitzvah of saying a bracha. The bracha is license to eat. It gives me the right to enjoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. It's a matir. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested, maybe that's what the Rambam is driving at, that birkas HaMitzvah are also a matir. I only have license to do a mitzvah once I've said a bracha. Just like I only have license to eat once I've said a bracha. Now you might stop and think, first you might say, wow, that's fascinating. Then you might think, what? What does that mean? I'm not allowed to do mitzvahs without a bracha? I mean, Hashem said I'm obligated to do mitzvahs. Great, okay, so I won't make a bracha, I won't do mitzvahs. I mean, if I don't say a bracha, I don't have to do a mitzvah. Like, well, what does this mean? What the Rav is capturing, I think, is the following. Yes, I'm obligated to do mitzvahs. And no, not making a bracha doesn't let me off the hook. But, and this comes back to what Adir was saying before, the bracha highlights that doing mitzvahs is an obligation that I do not have the right to bow out of, but it's also an extraordinary privilege. It's almost a chutzpah. You think you can work for God? Who are you? You know, I say, I'm going to show up to the U.S. Embassy and say, you know, I decided that I want to serve my country, so here I am. I am now the U.S. ambassador to Denmark. So I'll say, who invited you to be the U.S. ambassador to Denmark? No, I want to serve my country, so I decided. You don't get to decide that for yourself. You need to be invited to be the U.S. ambassador to Denmark. It's a service I'm providing to the country, but that's an incredible privilege that you have to be invited to. So I'm going to do mitzvahs. It's an obligation, but it's also extraordinary privilege. I get to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects it of me, but I need to appreciate that at the same time that I'm obligated to do mitzvahs, it's also a privilege which requires taking leave. I ask permission to do a mitzvah. Kishem. That's how the Rav understood this line in Rambam. Hilchas Brachas Perek Avalacha Gimel. Kishem Shemavarchan Hanoya, Kach Mevarchan Kal Mitzvah Mitzvah Yasosa. Just as I need to say a bracha on pleasure in order to have the right, so that I have the right to enjoy, otherwise it's wrong of me to enjoy, it's wrong of me to do mitzvahs without getting permission by saying a bracha. That's sort of like a flip side. That's for the ritzvah, it's about enhance my mitzvah through the bracha. Either I'm generally enhancing sort of reviewing the centrality of the pnimius, that was the Ritva second approach, or I'm enhancing my bracha by making sure that there's infusing the maisa with the pnimius, with the thought. She is kaddish. I clarify my intent. For the Rambam, it's actually like even sort of more fundamental. I'm getting permission. That also, by the way, might explain why before. So the Rambam's of the opinion that you can only make brachas before. Because for the Rambam, the whole point is that you're taking permission to do the mitzvah. Once you did the mitzvah, maybe too late to say the bracha. Whereas for the Ritva, where it's injecting more ideas into the bracha, into the mitzvah, that's where the bracha injects more thought, more feeling. Ideally, that should happen before. Okay, if not, I could still do that afterwards. If not, I can still do that afterwards. Yeah. I both say I'm glad to stick around for questions. And you have been very patient. What? Correct. Right, so you're saying, how does it relate to everything? Correct. You're saying, how does this relate back to Birkas HaMazon? Correct. Ah, yes. Here, perhaps. But I would point you to the following. The Rambam Halacha Beis, when he began to develop the idea of making brachas before you eat, Halacha Aleph was Birkas HaMazon after you eat. And then even if you're not full, right? Halacha Beis, he says, there's the idea of Birkas HaMazon, brachas before you have hana. Eating, drinking, even a small amount, a pleasant smell, pleasant aroma. V'chol hanena below bracha mol. Here, Rambam already quotes that line from Brachas Lamed Hei. That's what he presents as the basic philosophy of at least some Birkas hanena. He didn't explain the concept behind Birkas HaMazon or Bracha Achrona, but he does explain the concept behind Bracha Rishona is called Anena Below Bracha Mol. So it may be that the Kesheim is reaching back specifically to the one line of explanation I gave you so far is called Anena Below Bracha Mol. So that concept is in play as well with mitzvahs. You're right. Once that's true, so maybe that also speaks to the fact that you make bracha rishona before food, right? You need to make bracha rishona before you eat. You cannot make a bracha rishona after you eat for the same reason that you need to make a birkas hamitzvah before you do a mitzvah. Because bracha rishona and birkas hamitzvahs are both matirim. They both have this ki'ilu mo'al. Right. Adir and Yonatan, you guys are waiting very patiently. You just have to unmute yourself, Adir. Yeah, that's a great question. You're saying, going back to sort of the point that Yoni was pointing before, pushing before, so this idea you're saying, but if the root of all brachas is Birkas HaMazon, so how do you tell me that this fundamental idea is Ki'ilu Mol? Yeah, that's a great question. If you look at brachas of Lamed Hei, it appears that the Gemara is at least partially sourcing Bracha Rishona independently in this Svara. The Gemara says, Bracha Rishona comes from a Svara. And what's that Svara? Kol Hanene below Bracha Mol. Which, by the way, might be why the Rambam quotes that here. As he said, Bracha Achrona is Mitzah Seim Torah, as we've been discussing. Mitzah Seim means, Mitzah means it's in the Chumash. V'chalt, it told me in the Pasuk, V'chalt V'zvata Rechta. Bracha Achrona comes from the Pasuk. Bracha Rishona comes from the Svara. Kol Hanene below Bracha Mol. He's reflecting what the Gemara Bracha says. And then he's saying, and Birkas HaMitzvah is a takeoff on that same idea of that Misvara, I don't have the right to engage in the pleasure, the privilege of mitzvahs without first getting permission. In a sense, yes, it's probably patterned after. It's definitely rooted in the notion of saying a bracha connected to pleasure is already, that already is appears in the Chumash. That's Birkas HaMazon, that's bracha achrona, that's b'chal tzvus avot reichta. That the fact that you would extend that model to pre-food is based on the svar. So there is a connection, but at the same time, it is somewhat independent. Right. Okay, good. So what emerges, Rabbo say, is and then Yonatan, you have a question? Sure. Yeah, that's interesting. You're saying that the Ritva sounds like it's more externally, it's for an audience. It's to let everyone else know. Yigala v'yodia. Yes, that's why before we learned the Ritva, so I was translating it as to tell myself. It's hard to imagine that it's primarily for other people, especially not mochiv to say the bracha in front of other people. There are brachas that have to be said, berabim, shavar brachas perhaps have to be said. Birkas there is a discussion on Birkas Nisu and Birkas Eres and have to be said in front of a meeting. There are certain brachas that have to be said, in public. That Birkas HaMitzvah don't. It's ideal that someone should say Amen, but as I'm not, I can be perfectly fine fulfillment of Birkas HaMitzvah without that. So presumably, what he means the galos lodia primarily means vis-a-vis myself. I think again, maybe that reading of mine of the Ritva is colored by the Nodi Yehuda. Right. If you like, you could say Nodi Yehuda. Maybe it's sort of like giving us a little more insight into that nuance of the Noda Yehuda. Mircham, for tomorrow, we'll have a fresh set of Maamar Kamos. I want to look at this tefillin specific Machlokas Rabbeinu Tam Rabbeinu Eliyahu here, and then maybe we'll already get into the next piece of Gemara. Maybe we'll also touch tomorrow on a question we had left hanging, which the Meiri in the Maamar Kamos addresses, which is the question of which Nabi Yehuda had touched upon. There are mitzvahs that you don't make brachas on at all. And why would that be? And how does this relate to all of this? But just to remember where we've been so far today, where we've been today, we saw two or three different answers in Rishonim and Achronim to the question of the why question, why over Las Yasan? And these answers speak to that question and higher and lower. Now they explain why you make brachas before. They also explain more specifically why you make brachas specifically over Las Yasan, why immediately before, not just at some point before. And at the same time, they also zoom out. To speak, understanding why you make brachas over Las Yasan gives me insight into the logical question: why we make Birkas HaMitzvahs? What's the point of Birkas HaMitzvahs in general? Right, which is what the Rambam had been focused on. We saw the Ritva had spoken about enhancing the pnimius of the bracha, either making sure that my Maisa Mitzvah has a pnimius to it. That there's a primus that goes on in the chitzonos, or maybe even as he put it, more generally reinforcing the primacy of primus by putting the bracha before the maisa mitzvah. And the Rambam had spoken to sort of maybe moving from ahava to yira, if you will. The Rambam had spoken to license to do the mitzvah. It's a chiddush that I get to remind my and reminds me that it's a privilege to do mitzvahs. It's a chiddush. It would be a chutzpah for me to do a mitzvah. Who am I to walk into the palace of the king? And I take permission I receive license to enter the palace of the king and to perform a Kodesh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs by saying bracha. So there are a lot of key ideas, Birkas HaMitzvah, about mitzvahs in general, perspectives, important, accurate perspectives on mitzvahs, on the role of pnimius, and on the privilege of doing, the audacious privilege of doing mitzvahs that are reinforced by Birkas HaMitzvah, specifically by Birkas HaMitzvah in advance of the mitzvah. There's more to talk about, Rich, and we will continue tomorrow. I both say thank you so much.